Hello, welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Taghvai. The 16th summit of the Non-Aligned Movement held in Iran's capital, Tehran, is close to being wrapped up, but the work of the movement has just begun. With Iran officially taking over the presidency, its work is cut out for the next 3 years, which can quite possibly set a precedent for many years to come. Some noteworthy keynote speeches, first Iran's leader, amongst other topics, called for global disarmament and a nuclear-free Middle East. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon highlighted the important role of NAM in global equations, and Egypt's President Mohamed Morsi, who said NAM's success contingent upon member states' unity. In this news analysis, we will look at whether NAM, which represents almost half of the world population, will be able to make up for the deficiencies of the UN and how the Islamic Republic, as its president, plans to tackle some of the world's political issues in the new world order.
The heads of state session was inaugurated by a speech by the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The leader called for all of the world's weapons of mass destruction to be dismantled and said, global disarmament is urgently needed. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for a Middle East free from nuclear arms.
بلکه تهدیدی برای این هر دو است. حوادث دهه 90 قرن 20 نشان داد که داشتن این تسلیحات نمیتواند رژیمی همانند شوروی سابق را هم حفظ کند. امروز نیز کشورهایی را میشناسیم که با داشتن بمب اتم در معرض امواج ناامنی‌های مهلکند. جمهوری اسلامی ایران استفاده از سلاح هسته‌ای و شیمیایی و نظائر آن را گناهی بزرگ و نابخشودنی می‌داند. ما شعار خاورمیانه عاری از سلاح هسته‌ای را مطرح کرده ایم و به آن پایبندیم.
Iran's leader ended his speech by saying the non-aligned movement, which includes two-thirds of the international community, can play a major role in shaping the world's future. NAM is comprised of over half of the world population, and the movement has 120 member states and 17 observer countries. In the first day of the heads of state session, Egypt's President Mohamed Morsi handed over the presidency of the movement to his Iranian counterpart, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
We approve the presidency of my dear brother Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, assuming the presidency of the 16th summit of heads of state and government of the non-aligned movement.
Morsi called for unity among member states of the non-aligned movement as key to the bloc's success. He also described the issue of Palestine and the crisis in Syria as major challenges facing NAM. He says everything must be done to prevent a civil war in Syria. Morsi also slammed the Syrian government that prompted a brief walkout by the Syrian delegation. The Egyptian president said Cairo supports full membership of Palestine at the United Nations and slammed the Israeli occupation. The new head of the 120-country non-aligned movement, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, said world nations are not satisfied with the status quo. Ahmadinejad denounced the monopolization of the world's management, especially through economic tools such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund.
Major economic centers of the world are possessed by a number of capitalists of a number of countries, and the majority of the people remain in poverty, and they're paying the price of abuse and their mismanagement.
The Iranian president said the world is in need of a mechanism in which everyone has its own share of participation in global management. Ahmadinejad said NAM has the full potential to bring justice to the world.
Let's get feedback from our guests. Let me introduce them first. Executive Intelligence Review Bill Jones joins us from Washington. We have editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abayomi Azakiwi, who joins us from Detroit, and political commentator Omar Nashabi, who joins us from Beirut. Gentlemen, welcome. Omar Nashabi, first to you. To begin with, Iran was cited by many world powers, especially Western countries, prior to the summit as being isolated. Now, do you agree that the summit has actually proved otherwise, that those very same Western powers are the ones who are actually isolated?
I think that their strategy to isolate Iran is a failure and has proven to be a failure. That's what I can say. Because this summit, there is a very high level participation of some heads of states. There are some kings. These are 118 nations are represented on a high level, and this proves to be, as I said earlier on this program, that this is a diplomatic triumph of the Iranian diplomacy. And I think that the speech of the Supreme Leader had a very important echoes all around the world. Here, as we also said on this program before, that the Supreme Leader had always said that having nuclear weapons is an unforgettable sin. And here he's saying it out loud to the whole world to listen. And this is a forum where the international media that is controlled by one political group cannot prevent the world from hearing the voice of the Supreme Leader. And therefore, I think that it is clear now that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons, that its development of the nuclear program is for peaceful means. I think that the speech of President Ahmadinejad also was very important because it focused on a reform of the world order. And I think there is a serious problem there, and everybody realizes that there is a serious problem. And therefore, there should be a reform strategy to put forward. President Najad said that the NAM had an opportunity. Let's see if this will actually be made concrete. Because there is a serious challenge is that international law is defined by the United Nations until now and not by NAM, and that's the most serious challenge, I think.
Well, let's talk about this new world order in which, in one sense, it gets channeled through this organization called the United Nations. Abayomi Azikiwe, much criticism has been leveled against the current structure of the UN, in particular the Security Council, when it comes to the veto power. How democratic and representative is the veto power? Why not, as a solution, a simple majority or, for example, a consensus mechanism instead of this veto power?
That would be much more democratic if there was a simple majority within the United Nations Security Council. In fact, the United Nations General Assembly, the Security Council, has been dominant. The permanent members on the Security Council represent mainly the countries of Europe and the United States. But the non-aligned movement all along has posed a challenge to this undemocratic character of international relations. Going all the way back to the Bandung Conference of 1955, being the initial meeting of the emerging states of Africa and Asia, leading up to the preliminary meetings of the non-aligned movement in 1960 and 1961, where the leaders of the independence movements during that time, Nkrumah of Ghana, Sukarno of Indonesia, Nehru of India, Nasser of Egypt, and Tito of Yugoslavia, posed a challenge, even at that time, to the bipolar character of international politics. It was founded during the height of the Cold War of the early 1960s. The nuclear arms race was well underway at that time because France had tested nuclear weapons in the Sahara during the early 1960s. And since the early 1960s, the non-aligned movement has grown substantially. Now, over 120 nations, as Fidel Castro said, some 30-plus years ago, when he was president of the non-aligned movement, quote, "we represent the immense majority of humanity," unquote. And I think that's a very important observation, a very poignant statement on the part of the former leader of revolutionary Cuba. So I think with this summit being held in the Islamic Republic of Iran, it's a major accomplishment, not only for Iran, but also for those countries who have opposed war and who have opposed militarism and imperialism in the modern era. And I believe that it has gone a long way of curtailing the influence of the United States and the Western European countries, NATO, who have attempted for many, many years now to isolate Iran and also to exclude Iran from very important international issues. For example, the situation in Syria right now, they are attempting to exclude Iran from any role, meaningful role, in regard to developing some type of peace plan for Syria and bringing about stability within that country. I believe this is very significant that this meeting is being held. The fact that the newly elected Egyptian president, Dr. Mohamed Morsi, traveled to Iran, being the first Egyptian leader to travel there in over 30 years, I think it represents an historical turning point in regard to international relations.
Bill Jones, you know, it seems like analyst after analyst seems to point out to one thing, and that is Iran being isolated. But what's confusing is the fact that what is Iran being isolated on, what topics? And when you look at the list of topics that Iran is proposing, such as a nuclear-free Middle East, for example, as Iran's leader has stated, or the issue of Palestine, or resolving the issue on the situation in Syria, are these points to be isolated? Not only Iran, but we have 120 countries of Annam, which adopted this communique, which was an agreement with what Iran has proposed. So then, how is it that these points are considered to be isolation points, citing Iran to be the country isolated, when you have all these Annam countries behind Iran?
Well, obviously, Iran is not isolated, although there is a concerted attempt to isolate them, or I would rather say to contain them at the minimum by all of the actions that are being pursued in the region by France, by Britain, and by the United States. And in particular, in the attacks on Syria is also an attempt of so-called containment. Obviously, it has not been very successful, although the economic side of things has, I think, taken its toll on the Iranian people. I think it's unfortunate. I think it's criminal. But those are in place, and that represents a major problem. What the NAM conference did is to put a brake on the rapid drive towards war in the Middle East region. It hasn't stopped it. It is still ongoing. But the fact of Iran being able to bring these many countries together around issues of common concern, the fact that that Kofi Annan, although he was told, I think he was probably told by Susan Rice, do not go, he went. And he made his statements, and he's a part of the process that's going on here. And as was mentioned by a previous speaker, that the fact that President Morsi is there has created the type of climate where it's very difficult, if not impossible, to conduct major operations to try and perpetrate military action against Iran, and also puts a hindrance on operations in Syria. But that drive is still ongoing. It is still very dangerous. Susan Rice may be chewing the rug up in her office in New York at the time by the fact that Ban Ki-moon actually went to Tehran. But believe me, these people are still very dangerous, and the situation is dangerous. But I think we have had a very important break by the fact of the holding of this conference.
I wonder if that rug is Persian-made or Chinese-made. But Omar Nashmi, let's talk about that point that Bill Jones makes there in terms of Susan Rice. I mean, Ban Ki-moon, as a UN Secretary General, was defeated just recently by that very same Susan Rice, who said, you know what, we're going to work outside the Security Council on the situation on Syria. Tell us how these countries then who hold the veto-wielding power are actually, we touched on how they're monopolizing it, but they're working the UN to their own advantage. And then tell us how NAM can work parallel to that or contribute to the shortcomings or deficiencies of the UN.
Yes, there could be some complementary solution. But before I get to that, I just want to say that obviously it appears that all the accusations that the American administration had towards Iran and towards the attitude of the Islamic Republic of seeking to create a war and to threaten neighboring countries and to develop nuclear weapons, are all these accusations, they apply to the American administration itself. I mean, as you just mentioned, Susan Rice and the and Washington wanted to act outside the Security Council in violation of the UN Charter on the Syrian issue, because the UN Charter calls for dialogue, calls for peaceful resolution, does not call in any way of the forceful removal of any president or any legitimately elected government. Today, Syria is still represented in the United Nations by Mr. Ambassador Bashar Jaafari. So therefore, international law recognizes President Bashar Assad as the legal president in Syria. Now, what Iran did in the NAM conference, and this is very important, is that Iran showed the world that it is ready for dialogue, and it is open for dialogue, and it accepts differences in opinion and perspectives. Here is President Mohamed Morsi from Egypt, who has a different perspective. He is more than welcome in Tehran to actually raise his perspective. It was aired on all Iranian TV and international TV. He said his opinion, even if the Syrian delegation withdrew from the summit temporarily because of this speech. This is also a freedom of expression. Iran is creating a forum for dialogue and exchange. If there are differences in perspectives, fine, then it should be dealt with around the table, not through weapons and war and bringing smuggling weapons and fighters and destroying the Syrian infrastructure and destroying the Syrian society by inciting for more war and more destruction in Syria. I think the message that Iran made today is a multifaceted message on different levels. A message on nuclear weapons and the unforgivable sin of having nuclear weapons in the Middle East and around the world by the Supreme Leader. The message that there should be a reform of the world order, that this world order is not functioning appropriately. And here is the, I have to just to note here that the international community today agrees perhaps that the United Nations is not functioning properly because of the three consecutive vetoes by Russia and China on resolutions against Syria, whereas the international community would not act with hundreds of vetoes by the American government against resolutions, simple resolution, just simply condemning the spread of settlements in Palestine. I mean, this is a record number. The United States has a record number of vetoed Security Council resolutions that would condemn Israeli violations and the threats of Israel to its neighbors and to the security of the whole region. I mean,
right.
It's okay. Now we can move forward. And I think this is a function that NAM can play to actually, complement the United Nations, perhaps try to actually fix what has not been functioning properly and what does not secure a proper world order that ensures actual truthful justice.
Right. And in the spirit of fairness, based on what you just said, Omar Nashabi, Mr. Azikiwe, let's touch on what Omar Nashabi said through the presence of this UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Was he sincere? And when I ask that question, I'm talking about the statements that he made when he criticized Iran for criticizing Israel. But he didn't give a balanced approach to the criticism, because he didn't say when he criticized Iran, why is Iran criticizing Israel? At the same time, why did he talk about, for example, the illegal settlements? For example, on the nuclear issue, why did he not say, well, Israel is not a signatory to the NPT? So brings me back to my initial point there on the question, was Ban Ki-moon sincere in his presence at this NAM summit?
I believe that he still has to answer to Washington, to London, and that's why he cannot take a sincere position vis-a-vis the role of the State of Israel within the Middle East. The fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran is calling for a nuclear-free Middle East is very significant. At the same time, it has been much speculation that the State of Israel has nuclear weapons capability, that technology in order to develop that nuclear weapons capability was shared with the State of Israel by many of these Western imperialist powers. I believe that until the situation in Palestine is resolved, meaning that the Palestinian people will have adequate, independent, and sovereign representation within the United Nations and all international bodies, there will be no stable and lasting peace within the Middle East. I believe that the United Nations Security Council and even the Secretary General, to a large degree, is beholden to the powers within the United States, within London, the Western European countries, and those that are part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. I believe also that the non-aligned movement can initiate initiatives to bring about settlements to many of these international questions. The Palestinian question, the current crisis that is going on right now in Syria, as well as other developments. For example, the Afghan war, which is going on and appears to have no end in sight, a war that is intensifying as we speak, with more and more ISAF and U.S.-led forces being killed on a daily basis, where you have even Afghan troops that have been trained by the United States and by NATO turning their guns against the people who have been training them in military tactics. I believe that the United Line movement should take its own initiatives in resolving some of these international questions. And I believe with the Iranian government taking the chairpersonship of the non-aligned movement at this point, that there can be progress made in these particular arenas.
And Bill Jones, what's different topics that Mr. Azikiwe touched on? Maybe in the past decade since NAM's inception, perhaps have not borne any results. Maybe right now is the point in time that it may. And I'm talking about this new world order. And in the backdrop, I'm referring to perhaps the declining power of some of the major powers. We can mention the U.S., we can mention the U.K., and I'm talking economically now, where they're on the decline. Do you think that there's going to be some results coming? The Palestine issue, there's a five-point action plan that's been adopted by Iran, such as involving the promotion of Palestine for U.N. membership or to stop Israeli illegal actions. Do you think now is the time that perhaps NAM can prove its point and for it to have results?
Well, I think NAM is obviously playing a very important role, but I wouldn't over-exaggerate it. I mean, that the important part of the situation is that they're doing it in a particular circumstance where there is opposition from some of the major powers to this whole containment of Iran as well as to the war in Syria. And by that I mean, of course, China and Russia, who are sitting in the Security Council. So that the fact of NAM acting in this direction, they are not acting alone, or they are not acting in a vacuum. If that were the case, in spite of the fact that it represents so many countries, the economic power of these other countries, like Russia, like China, like the United States still, are just so overwhelming that it may not have its effect. But it's kind of a wedge at this point, that if it pushes the situation in the direction of giving support to the initiatives that have already been taken by the Russians and by the Chinese to try and bring down the violence in the Middle East and stop the war in Syria, I think that's very important. That means that a large amount of the world population is behind policies where some very significant countries are standing in the foreground. And I think one has to see it in terms not of the NAM as an organization, but more as an organization which can force a wedge in the international situation where even some of the major powers can be brought to bear. That becomes a significant force, and it is that force which has stopped the warmongers in the White House today from actually going towards war in Syria.
And finally, Omar Nashabi, in about 30 seconds, 120 countries accounting for two-thirds of the UN's 193-nation membership. Will Iran's leadership of the presidency of NAM be able to tackle these problems, bringing results?
Well, no doubt that according to the speech of President Najad, and of course before that, according to the speech of the Supreme Leader, Iran will attempt to do so. But no doubt this summit marks a new era of Iranian diplomacy all around the world. and it will create more peace and more stability for the world. And the only nation, I think, that isolated itself, or the only entity that isolated itself by actually threatening other countries and destabilizing the region is this entity of Israel that is an occupying and destructive entity.
Thank you very much, Omar Nashabi there, political commentator from Beirut, from the Executive Intelligence Review, Bill Jones, and editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abayomi Azikiwe. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Do send us any questions or comments to newsroom@presstv.ir. From Ikava Tafoye and the entire team, it's goodbye.